Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. I want to invite you to open up your Bibles to Titus. Titus chapter 2 is where we're going to be spending a bit of time this morning. We're going to be talking about balanced zeal. Balanced zeal. It's interesting when you look up a word that you already know the definition to, like balance. Most of us understand what that means when we hear it. But when you look it up, it used to say in the Webster Dictionary, but now it's the first search result on Google, gives us an even distribution of weight enabling someone or something to remain upright and steady. And zeal has the idea of being on fire. And so what we're talking about this morning is a balanced zeal that allows us to remain upright and steady and on fire. Titus chapter 2, we're going to begin reading in verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Declare these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Godly zeal, a balanced zeal, displays the grace of God. And God wants us to be on fire for him. Turn over to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. And Jesus is speaking through John to the church at Laodicea. And Jesus says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Balanced zeal that displays the grace of God, a zeal for God, a God that wants us to be on fire for him. So what ought we be zealous about? What should we be zealous for? One thing we should be zealous for is our worship. Look at John, the second chapter. John chapter 2. Jesus is approaching the temple. And when he gets there, he's appalled at what he sees. Money changers are in there profiting in the house of God. They're buying and selling. They've turned the house of God into a den of thieves. The house of God that was supposed to be dedicated for worship. And Jesus is angry at that. And he flips over the tables and he drives out the money changers. And what makes Jesus angry ought to make us angry. Amen? And look at what his apostles say in chapter 2 and verse 17. His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Concerning Jesus. Jesus was moved to anger because the house of God was taken over by a fleshly carnality. We ought to be zeal about our worship. What are we here to do? Why don't we serve cappuccinos here and breakfast burritos? Because we're here to worship God. We're here to give Him praise, honor, and glory. We're here to serve Him. Not to feed our bellies, to make a profit. If God is worth anything, He's worth everything. Look at the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. The church at Ephesus. Jesus says, I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. The Lord did not rebuke the church at Ephesus because they did not love Him. The Lord rebuked the church at Ephesus because they did not love Him like they did at the beginning, at the first, their first love. When a husband and a wife are first married, that love at the first is passionate. It's on fire. And that's the love that we need to have for God. Not only in the beginning, but if we love Him like we ought to, that love grows. It becomes deeper and stronger, just like it does in a relationship. Half-hearted worship is an insult. It's an insult to God. If He is worth anything, He is worth everything. Going back to our text in Titus chapter 2, we are also to be zealous over the truth. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 talks about the grace of God. The grace of God. Without grace, we don't have Christianity. Without grace, we don't have salvation. Look at verse 13. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, it talks about the deity of Christ, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that's returning. And Jesus here is called God. Jesus is God. We ought to be zealous over the deity of Christ. Look at verse 13. Again, not only is God and Jesus returning, who is one, but He is coming again. Jesus is coming again. The second coming of Christ. That's our hope. Our hope is that Jesus returns while we're here waiting for His second coming. And look at verse 14 of Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul talks about redemption. Redemption. Jesus, who gave Himself for us to redeem us. To redeem us. We should never let go of these truths. We should be zealous over the truth. It's better to be divided over truth than to be united in error. Jesus is one of the most divisive forces on the planet. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace to earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." So we ought to be zealous over truth. Over these truths. We also ought to be zealous about holiness. About holiness. Look at verse 14 again. Who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession. The King James Version says a peculiar people. Not an odd people, but a peculiar people. And if we're living holy lives that are set apart, that are not participating in lawlessness and in worldly acts, and we walk in holiness, we will be different. We will be different from the world. We ought to be zealous in our service to God. In verse 14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. When we have zeal, when we love Jesus as we ought to love him, a lot of problems are solved for us. One problem that's solved is the attendance problem. If we have a zeal for the Lord and we're zealous in our service for him, then we will desire to attend church. We'll want to be here. When we love God, we love what God loves. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20 tells us that when two or more are gathered in my name, Jesus says, I am present. I am with those people. Why would we not want to be with the Lord Jesus if we love him? It also addresses the selfish problem. If you're dealing with selfishness, if we're zealous in our service for the Lord, we will not be selfish. When we love, we want to give. Now, it's possible to give without loving, but it's not possible to love without giving. You cannot love without giving. But we can force ourselves to give without love. But that's not the zeal we're talking about. When we're zealous for God, we want to serve him. People serve in many ways. Some people send cards to those who are in need. Some people prepare meals. Some people give rides. Some people give a smile. A hug. Some people serve just by being here. Anne is serving just by being here. She's an encouragement to me. When I see Anne over there with her magnifying glass, reading the words in the songbook, that's an encouragement to me. And many of you here this morning are an encouragement to me. And Anne, she can't see well. She can't hear well. But she's here. And she gets as much out of the worship service as she can. And it's sad to say, she may get more out of it than some of you with perfect vision and with perfect hearing. Because you're not zealous in your service to the Lord. You're not here to worship God. It also solves the disagreement problem. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. If we love God, we'll love one another. And many disagreements go away. Godly zeal takes us beyond lukewarm moderation. Going back to Revelation chapter 3, the problem with the church at Laodicea was they were lukewarm. And Jesus gives them the antidote. Back in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, Jesus tells them what to do. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Be zealous and repent. So we need to be zealous over those things, over the truth, over the worship, over our service to God, over holiness. But remember, this morning we're talking about balanced zeal. Because it is possible to be unbalanced in our zeal. And an unbalanced zeal leads to a distorted sense of the grace of God. Look at Titus chapter 3 now. Titus chapter 3, we're going to begin reading in verse 8. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up divisions, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. If the enemy cannot keep us from being zealous, then he wants to make us extremists. He wants us to be unbalanced in our zeal. There is a misguided zeal that leads to fanaticism that is divisive. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 5, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5 says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The King James Version says, let your moderation be known to everyone. There is a perfect balance in the Word of God between being zealous and being reasonable. Unbalanced zeal is foolish. We're back in our text in Titus chapter 3 and verse 9. The words in Titus chapter 3 and verse 9, dissensions and quarrels, that's contentions and strivings. They have the idea of bickering and judging and criticizing. Oftentimes, we can go too far with our legalistic ideas on things that don't matter, on things that really don't matter. Someone can have extreme and zealous, overzealous, unbalanced zeal in the way that they worship. We have two primary texts that govern the way that we come together as a congregation. Principles that we use. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40 tells us that when we assemble, we ought to come together and do things decently and in order. And we know the Corinthian church struggled with being overzealous in their worship, speaking over one another, prophesying, and they couldn't wait for the other person to get done talking because they wanted to stand up and they wanted to share what they had to say. And we can be the same way in our Bible class. John chapter 4 and verse 24. When we worship God, we ought to worship Him in spirit and in truth. If all we have is spirit in our worship, we're not right. If all we have is truth without the Spirit, we're not right. When we worship in these ways, we draw attention to ourselves rather than point attention to Jesus, to God, who we're here to worship, who we're here to serve. We can be unbalanced in our zeal for worship. We can also, unbalanced zeal is fruitless. It's fruitless. Look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 9 again. It says, it's unprofitable and vain, worthless, unprofitable, and vain. We can take good things and we can turn them into unprofitable exercises through unbalanced zeal in our life. Think about quiet time. You know, we do need to get alone with God. We do need to spend time alone with Him. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Turn over to Matthew chapter 14. Jesus just heard about the execution of John the Baptist. And He needs to get away. He needs to get alone with God. And so in Matthew chapter 14, in verse 13, when Jesus heard this, the news about John the Baptist, He withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by Himself. He wanted to get away, to get alone. But when the crowds heard it, they followed Him on foot from the towns. When He went ashore, He saw a great crowd, and He had compassion on them and healed their sick. He wanted to get alone with God, but at that time, there was something else that was more pressing for Him to do, and He did it. In Bible study, in prayer, these things can be unbalanced. Do we need to study the Bible? Absolutely. We should study the Bible. But that shouldn't be the only thing that we're doing. There is enough time in every day to do everything gracefully that God requires of us. I think about Bible study as like reviewing the playbook. Do we need to study the playbook? Yes. We need to know how to run the plays. Think about church as coming to practice. Do we need to come to practice? Yes. We need to come together to get better, to strengthen each other. Do we need to get in the game? Yes. We need to get into the game. Study the playbook. Study the Bible. Come to practice. Come to church. Get into the game. Live your life. That's getting into the game. We need to take what we're doing here and put it into practice. And this is another area that as Christians, we can struggle with being out of balance with our zeal in dealing with this dichotomy of being in the world but not of the world. To be separate from the world, but not separated from them, in isolation. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. Jesus, our example, our model, as Jesus passed on from there, He saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And He said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed Him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to His disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when He heard it, He said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician. But those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came to call not the righteous, but sinners." We are to be separate from sinners, but not isolated from them. And we can be unbalanced in our zeal when it comes to separating ourselves and isolating ourselves from the people that need us, the most. We can be unbalanced in our service to the Lord. We can become so extreme that we run ourselves into the ground and cause harm to ourselves, to our family. Unbalanced zeal for the Lord can break up a home, can break up a marriage. When one of the two spouses is so focused on serving other people that they forget of their duties and responsibilities to serve their family, to serve at the home. And it leads to heartache. Don't forget your responsibility to the family. We can be unbalanced in our self-denial. We can take the biblical principle of self-denial to an extreme so that we don't enjoy life. And we withhold so much from ourselves that we don't live. We don't experience joy. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. If you want to turn over there. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And verse 18 says, "Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot." We do experience sacrifice as Christians, but there is a joy to serving the Lord. And God wants us to experience that joy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." God wants us to enjoy our life. He's blessed us with these things. He wants us to experience joy and to live. And so, as Christians, we need to maintain our balance and not become unbalanced in self-denial. An unbalanced zeal is fatal. Going back to our text in Titus chapter 3 and verse 10. "As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned." Misguided zeal, unbalanced zeal, does not help the cause of Christ. It hurts it. Peter was unbalanced for a little while. In Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 47, Jesus is in the garden and Judas is betraying him. And they come to take Jesus, and Peter responds with unbalanced zeal. Luke 22, beginning in verse 47, you can read it there. But Peter takes out his sword to fight back and cuts off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. What is wrong with unbalanced zeal? We fight the wrong enemy. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Malchus was not Peter's enemy. Satan was behind what was going on in the garden. We fight with the wrong weapon. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." In Luke 22, Peter used a sword to cut off the ear of Malchus. In Acts chapter 2, Peter used a different sword. And with that sword, he preached the gospel and many believed and were converted and were baptized to Christ. We fight with the wrong attitude. James chapter 1 and verse 19 says, "Knowing this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." In Luke 22, Peter was arguing with Christ when he should have been listening. In the garden, he was sleeping when he should have been praying. That's the result of unbalanced zeal. We should let the beauty of Jesus shine in and through us. We are to be zealous for good works to the Lord. Never lose our passion. Never lose our fire. Never lose our joy. But we need to maintain balanced zeal. There is a sweet reasonableness and balance to serving the Lord. If you are here this morning and you have not given your life to Christ, and you know that you are a sinner, and you know that you are lost, and you know that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He died for you, then, and you're ready and willing to commit your life to Christ, then the invitation is